Welcome to the Living Rock Podcast.
So, we are talking about the Love Builds Up series. So, as you know, we've been going through as a church the book of Corinthians, and we have the pleasure and privilege to share a little bit more on that series. And we've been tasked with just sharing a little bit more about what love looks like. And our topic that we've chosen is Love Looks Like Action. Can we all say action together?
Action.
Action. So lights, camera, action. So you better strap in. It's going to be a fast ride, but I promise it's going to be a good one. So love in action is what we're going to talk about and what love looks like. So love looks like action. So Hot Rock 4, if you're in the room, can you just give us a wave because we need your help. Hot Rock 4. So this is the best of the Hot Rock 4 age group. And we're just going to introduce something called Bob the Bin to you. So can everyone just wave to Bob the Bin? I can't believe you did that. That was brilliant. So Bob the Bin comes out in Hot Rock 4 most weeks. And we're just going to demonstrate, or Sarah Jane is, a little bit about what happens. So when it opens, Hot Rock 4, you ready? Yep. Okay, so now you've got it, adults. Every time the lid opens, it makes a noise. So please feel free to join in if you wish. We'll just try it once more time. Perfect. That's it. Mike loves it already. Cracking straight in. So in Hot Rock 4, what we do is we ask three questions just to start us off. So we're going to ask those three questions now. So Sarah Jane, take it away.
You don't have to make the sound this time.
Still open.
Okay. So, first question. Emily, this is coming your way. Who do you love and why? Beautiful.
Round of applause for that. That was lovely. Next one.
Okay, next one. I'll go quicker. Okay, next question. Eve, here we go. What's the kindest thing someone has ever done for you?
Those that can't hear. So Eve had, well, one, she was in Cardiff, so that was a great start. And then the second thing was that Dan surprised you, right? Yeah, and it was lovely. So she felt the love in the room for that bit. Thank you very much.
Flowers and chocolate.
Okay. Noted. Yeah. Noted. We'll move on.
Here we go. Okay. This one's coming to the Eagles. Are we ready? What's the kindest thing God has ever done in your life?
Wow. So Martha said that Jesus healed her heart when she was very young. That was a miracle. And it's fantastic to hear of the love that we have for one another, love we have for our family, and also the kindness and compassion that God has for us. Even as Martha was very young and now very embarrassed, she's sharing what God has done for her, which is incredible. Amen. Thank you for your volunteers. Well done. So just to move that on slightly, we're looking at Corinthians. So the next verse will come up on the screen. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 14, it says, and this is a mashup, it says, let all you do, so every action, every motivation, everything, be done in or with love. So let all you do be done in love. And that's what we're going to be talking about. So all that you do, so there's an action to it. There is a purpose to it. There is a motivation. Fundamentally, everything that you do in life should be done in or through love. And we're just going to explain what that might mean. Love here is talking about agape love, which I know you'll know, which is selfless, sacrificial, unconditional. And the foundation of that, it's not based on emotions or our feelings. It's something much, much bigger, much, much greater. And the word, Paul is encouraging the church to do everything in love. Every action, every motivation, and everything that you do. Okay? So we're just going to move through some more verses in Corinthians just to help us see what's happening and what's going on here. So 1 Corinthians 4:20, it says, "For the kingdom of God is not just a lot of talk, but it's living by God's power." So it's not just about talking, but it's by living in God's power. So it is active. Thank you, Tim. Next one. 1 Corinthians 8:6, it says, "We exist for him." So everything was created for Jesus, by Jesus, through Jesus. And we are only here because of him. So foundationally and fundamentally, God's love for us and why we're here today is because of Jesus. Next one, please. Chapter 10, it says, "Let no one seek his own good, but for the good of his neighbor." We'll come back to that in a second. Next one, please. And then again in chapter 10. "Just as I try to please everyone in everything that I do, I don't seek my own advantage, but that of the many, that they might be saved." So there is an action, there is a purpose and a motivation that Paul is talking about. First, because of Jesus' love for him, and then actually what he's compelled to do, which is for others, and the result of that is what here? Salvation. So there's a purpose to it, and then there is an outcome and a goal. Thank you, next one. And then he goes on to say, "For my example is as I follow Christ." So follow my example as I follow Christ. So the things we're going to be talking about, love in action, it starts with a foundation and a motivation, an activity, but then it also involves following someone's example, which we'll explain in more detail as we go. Next one, please. Thank you. Right, so love in action. On your seats, children, you might be able to find a paper heart or a card heart. This is just for the children now, in all Hot Rock ages. There's a competition at the end, sorry, to colour in the best heart, be the most creative. Adults, if you want to take part, you can do, but there is no prize for you. However, adults, there is something to do with those hearts at the end, so just hold tight. But Hot Rock, close. Hot Rock, prize for the most creative heart at the end to keep you going. And then we'll come back to that. Okay, right. Next one is we're going to talk about a story, an example from the Bible of somebody that showed us love in action. Who do we think that might be? Jesus, obviously. We went through lots of different verses and actually kept coming back to this one same thing, which was love in action. And the example of that we're going to demonstrate today. So if I can have my volunteer up, and then Sarah Jane is going to read the word to us. Here he comes. Round of applause for Ben. Ben Morris, everybody. If you take a seat. Can you pop your socks off for me? Right. Children, does anybody want to touch this gross mess that we've got here we created early? No, look at that. Grace, you want to smell it? This is fresh dirt, fresh mud. Pretty disgusting, isn't it? Can everybody say, Thank you. So, right, Sarah Jane, when you're ready.
Before the Passover celebration, Jesus knew that his hour had come to leave this world and return to his Father. He had loved his disciples during his ministry on earth, and now he loved them to the very end. It was time for supper, and the devil had already prompted Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had given him authority over everything, and that he had come from God and would return to God. So he got up from the table, took off his robe, wrapped a towel around his waist, and poured water into a basin. Then he began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel he had around him. When Jesus came to Simon Peter, Peter said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You don't understand now what I am doing, but someday you will." "No," Peter protested, "you will never ever wash my feet."
Jesus replied, "Unless I wash you, you won't belong to me." Simon Peter exclaimed, "Then wash my hands and my head as well. Lord, not just my feet." Jesus replied, "A person who is bathed all over does not need to wash, except for the feet, to be entirely clean. And you disciples are clean, but not all of you." For Jesus knew who would betray him. That is what he meant when he said, "Not all of you are clean." After washing their feet, he put on his robe again and sat down and asked, "Do you understand what I was doing? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, but that's what I am. And since I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash each other's feet. I have given you an example to follow. Do as I have done to you. I tell you the truth. Slaves are not greater than their master, nor is the messenger more important than the one who sends the message. Now that you know these things, God will bless you for doing them. So now, I am giving you a new me, but you can't come where I am going. I'm giving you a new commandment. Love each other. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples."
Did everyone see that? See what was happening? What a great example. What a great demonstration of what Jesus did for his followers. And what did he say? He said, "Follow me, follow my example, and do just as I've done." As we know, in that time, first of all, when they were visiting a house, it would be really, really dusty. It would be really, really dirty on the road to that person's house. So just as the muck and dirt was on Ben's feet, sorry, Ben, he did trim his toenails, I'm sure. But when they were going to someone's house, the owner of the house with their servants would first wash people's feet. It was dusty, it was dirty, it was pretty disgusting. And in those days, they didn't have powerful trimmers and clippers. It would have been pretty full on to do that in the first place. It wasn't Jesus' role. He wasn't the master of the house. He wasn't the servant. But what did he do? He laid himself down in order to clean up, to tidy up, and to wash all of the dirt, all of the dust, all of the debris, all of the things that were clinging to the disciples because of what the world put on them. Jesus washed their feet. He was teaching us not only about serving, but about humility and kindness and compassion. And what's more interesting is that he washed all of the disciples' feet, including who? Judas. So even the person that was about to betray him, he even washed Judas's feet. What does that tell us about love in action? It tells us that actually there is forgiveness, there is compassion, and that Jesus could overcome what was about to happen. And we know he's told us to follow his example. So what does that tell us about what we should do about those that wrong us, that those that seek to want to bring us down, those that upset us? We are to forgive, we are to humble ourselves, we are to show love in action. He said, "You are to love one another, and by this all people will know that you're my disciples, if you love one another." And so this is the action and activity I want to get us to understand today, is that we are showing God's love to others, and then people will know that we love one another. And that isn't in this room. It isn't a holy huddle. It isn't just for this place, but it's actually to reflect Jesus wherever we walk, wherever we go, wherever we work, whatever situation or circumstance we're in. We are to show love, compassion, and kindness, just like Jesus did. Thank you, Ben. Round of applause. I was thinking about who to ask, and obviously Ben and I are really close friends. And then I was challenged. What if it was just a volunteer from the congregation? I don't know where you've been. I don't know what what's gone on for you this week. I don't know whether you've taken a shower or a bath. I don't know your situation and circumstance, but I was challenged to think, should I know more about that? Should I know more about what's going on with my brothers and sisters in the room? And would I wash your feet? Would we do something that pushes us out of our comfort zone in order to show love in action, just like Jesus has done? 1 John says in 3 verses 16 to 20, we know what real love is because of Jesus gave his life up for us. So we ought to give our lives up for our brothers and sisters. If someone has enough money to live well and sees a brother and sister in need but shows no compassion, how can God's love be in that person? Dear children, let's not merely say to love one another, but let us show our truth by our actions. So love in action. He's saying, because Jesus loved us first, that's the example that we are set by. And this morning, our adoration, our love, our worship to King Jesus this morning can only go so far if we then don't express what Jesus has done to one another. Amen? Amen. Why? Well, we learned about the church in Corinth that actually that time in that world is relevant for us now. Why? Because there is self-centeredness, there is distrust, there's war, there's unforgiveness, there's bitterness, there's hurt, there's rejection, there's abandonment, there's relationship issues, there's people that complain about anything and everything, there's people that want their own way, they want to be right, and they want to feel good no matter the cost or the circumstance. That's what's happening in the world. It was the same as what we've learned through the teaching of David and Chris, which has been fantastic. That's what was happening then. It's still happening today. Because you might say, well, actually, compassion and kindness, we see lots of projects in the world. We know lots of people that are very, very good people. There's lots of that going on. So why bother? What's the difference that we have? Well, we have a significant and a purposeful difference. We have Jesus and the Holy Spirit inside of us, and we have the expression of the body. So Paddy and Izzy, they were talking about love looks like togetherness. So from Corinthians, we know that the body has a purpose to play. We are, as Chris said a few weeks back, and should be, the freest people on earth. And he said, the more self-orientated we are, the more we lose sight of the body. The Corinthians lost sight of the body, but then Chris encouraged us. He said, when you're not the center of your own world and God is, you start to see others and want to give yourself to others. That was a demonstration of love in action. And we know that we have peace, we have hope, we have love. Love that's deeper than the surface. It's not just a feeling or an emotion we have, but actually it's a deep-rooted love in what God has done for us. And so that means that we're able to help or serve. It should mean that practically we are to freely give and to be generous as possible. What does love look like in action? So it is serving, it is kindness, it's compassion, it's generosity, it's patience, it's forgiveness, it's hospitality. There's lots of people that don't want to open up their homes. There's lots of people that are lonely, that need somewhere to go, that need a friend, that need somebody that has life-giving power in them. And guess what? That's us. And it's an amazing position to be in. Children. It's also helping like Jesus did. So it's hugging a friend that seems sad. Children, it's saying kind words when others aren't kind. It's looking out for those that are on their own. It's sharing your toys. It's being kind to your brother and sister. I thought I'd get that one in for my own children. You all right, Grace? The purpose of that is to make them feel special and cared for. Because the opposite of that is happening in the world. There are lots of people that don't feel special, don't feel significant, and don't feel cared for. But love in action can only be done through us. That's what Jesus wanted us to do. He wanted to set the example, set the pace, and say, actually, I did the very thing by going to the cross for you. And now I want to use you to go beyond to help others. We were just talking about some personal examples in our own life of where we've shown love in action. And I was also talking to my mum, who I love catching up with. And one thing that I wanted to share with what my mum was talking to me about the other day was just sowing something small. and it was as small as a smile. Can we all smile? Yeah? Oh, lovely smiles. It was something as small as a smile. So she was telling me a story. She would go out of her house, quite a busy road, and there was a couple that would walk past every day, and my mum just happened to be outside, so she would smile at them. So they'd walk past, she'd smile. She started to realise that their English wasn't very good, and so what did she continue to do? Smile. She smiled every time she saw them. She said hello. She smiled again. They'd walk by. Months and months later, actually, my mum was in a place where she needed some comfort, and a knock on the door, and it was this couple, and they'd brought food. And she's, come on in. So they were from Kerala, wonderful place, and they started to tell my mum the story about Kerala in India, and they brought food because they said, that's our custom or tradition to do so. Please, would you have some food? My mum was blown away by it, so she started to talk to them, and she said, well, why have you done this? And they said, because you smiled at us. They'd been in the country. Nobody had spoken to them. They'd walk by every day. My mum was just smiling. So she could have thought nothing of it, but she was blessed because they brought food into the house. And then what's happened is a process of a relationship with them where my mum's been able to help them with work applications, visas, and show love and kindness to them. And it all started because the man said, you smiled at us. It is lovely, but it's just a small gesture that I want to encourage you in, that don't think you can't do anything. We're all able to smile. We're all able to give just something of ourselves. If you start there, small beginnings become into greater and better things. She was then telling me another story. She got lots of stories. The other thing is that she was talking to some friends, building a relationship, and it took 10 years to be able to get on to God. Just because of the circumstances of these individuals, where they were at, she'd have them round, they'd talk, it was lovely, but there was never an opportunity to break through into talking about a faith, for whatever reason. And the point of sharing that was it took 10 years. So there was a moment where she was sharing a smile and sowing something small, and there was another moment where she was grafting because she knew that God wanted to do something in this couple's life, but it took 10 years. It might take you a lifetime to reach somebody. Or it might take a moment through the Holy Spirit to reach somebody. But there are both things going on. So don't diminish what you have, what you've got, your purpose in this exchange that's happening. Because of him, we. Because of what he did, we are saved. Because of the example of putting himself lower than his friends, being willing, being active to do something, actually, we now talk about that story and see it in practice. Some other examples. Conscious of time. Thank you, kids, you're doing so well. We were in a life group, and one of our friends, we were about to move into a house, and the house had a gas explosion, completely totaled the house. 2 days before they were due to move in, they had nothing. What did we do? Life group, we prayed. We then said, can we do anything else? We ended up, at the time we had a very big Land Rover, filling that car to the rafters with gifts, with food, with any sort of contribution that the life group could make. So it was actually, we had to jam the door shut. We drove around to see them. We opened it up, some of it fell out. And we said, this is for you. We can't do anything else. We prayed for you. We want to bless you. And that individual we then built a relationship with. We were able to say that this was the life group. This was church. This was love in action. And that sowing of seed has impacted them significantly. Other things in COVID with our neighbours, we started an operation of a Sunday lunch distribution centre. So there were lots of single older women on their own in our neighbourhood. We ended up providing Sunday lunch for all of them just in COVID. We wanted to do something and we kept doing that, kept sowing that seed and built that relationship. We wanted to show love in action. It's not just about talk, but it's about living in God's power. The other one, actually, just in showing love in action, was my own experience where I was on the receiving end of it. So we were on a trip some years ago and a freak accident occurred. I was drawn into a very large rushing river and All I could do was shout, "Lord," before I started to go under the water. The next thing I know, somebody is jumping into that river, who can't swim, grabbing my arm and pulling me to the bank. That moment for me, there was an exchange of somebody that I'd known for 2 weeks, but loved God, was able to jump in without thinking and pull me out and rescue me. I'm challenged by that every day. How far are you willing to go for someone else? How far are we willing to go for one another? How far are you willing to go for your family member that can frustrate you? How far are you willing to go for your friends? How far are you willing to go for those in need? It's not for condemnation, but it's a provocation to show you that because of him, we exist. And in that, we are to follow his example. We are not to be comfortable. We're to be challenged. And in that verse from 1 John, Andrew shared it the other day with a life group, that actually, do we have something to give? And a few months back, I was challenged to give some money to somebody. And I had to think about, do I give from my place of comfort? So I have some provision. Do I give because I can? Because it won't be missing to me. I won't notice it. Or do I go to the point that it feels uncomfortable, because the Holy Spirit was challenging me and saying, how comfortable am I? And what point, how far can I push it to be uncomfortable for the point of actually putting less of me into that situation and more of God? Again, sowing a smile. Taking one step forward is all you need to do. These are things that are just relevant for me in my own personal circumstances because I can. But for you, you don't have to feel any pressure. You can just sow a smile. You can just sow a seed. And the most exciting bit about that is we're going to come to the final scripture. So if you can turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 16. Are we there? Yeah. We're there. So we started with, in all that you do, every action, every motivation, everything, do in love or through love. What I did was read on a little bit and stumbled across some amazing verses. And it talks about three characters. So Stephanias, Fortunatus, and Achaicus. And it says, and Paul says, these people refreshed my spirit as well as yours. I almost moved on to my next reading. And I went back to it and went back to it and went back to it. And it said that these people refreshed my spirit as well as yours. And then I thought of Proverbs, where it says, for those who refresh others will be refreshed themselves. And I was challenged by these characters. I then did a study. Couldn't see a lot else other than Stephanias' house being saved. But what I was challenged by was, what did they do to be a refreshing to somebody else? What can I do to be a refreshing to somebody else? And I know then, if I'm sowing refreshing seed, guess what? I can reap refreshment as well. And so that principle and exchange of what God has done for me, that example he's shown me, I then are encouraged to be refreshed and to be a refresher. So we need to let love in action be a guiding principle in all our actions, decisions, and interactions with others. It is a choice. It is a daily choice, because sometimes we feel a bit tired, a bit weary. We've got our own things going on. But church, the example we've been set and the pace that we've been set is to love one another, is to put each other first, and to let God's love reflect in us through imitating Jesus, having love, compassion, and kindness. You don't have to have all the answers. You don't have to do it all by yourself. There are activities that this church is doing through compassion and kindness. There's pebbles, There's Rachel's Table, there's the Hygiene Bank, there's the International Life Group, there's the Community Cafe, there's Mum Stop. There is loads of things that we are involved in and doing. There are loads of kind and compassionate works. So if you don't feel you can do it, get involved in something. Offer help, offer support, refresh others. Because that is love in action. So we are to be seeking the very best in others. We need to be seeking the very best for others, and we need to be seeking and giving our very best to others. Because that way we'll be refreshed and we'll be a refreshing. And the principle and the outline of what the world will see for this church, if we're refreshing one another, is that they want part of that. They want to be included. They want to be part of something that is life-giving and that is eternal. People do see it. People do know that actually this person loves this person. Why? Because of their actions. And that's what we're to be today. And I want to encourage you that we are to be refreshers. So much so. Refreshers. So you've listened so well. We want you to take a refresher. You can eat it at home. Total disclaimer. Living Rock Church and other associations and myself, watch your teeth. You can't sue us, okay? They are chewy. But I want you to take this home and remember this moment that you are to be a refresher to others, a refresher of encouragement, a refresher of somebody that can give life to someone else, a refresher that can just sow a smile. Amen? Right. Yes. Sarah Jane, thank you.
So, adults, you've sat really patiently with your hearts. We'd really like it if you could think, what could I do to encourage somebody, show love in action? How could I be a refresher to somebody? So if you want to jot down something that you could do, it might be just, I'm going to smile at my neighbours. Or if you think there's a person that would really benefit from a refreshing from you, jot them on your heart and go home and stick it somewhere, somewhere where you remember as a little encouragement of something that you can do.
Just one activity, one example, one thought. How can I refresh others? What can I do to be a refreshing to somebody else? Write it down as a challenge. We're showing love in action. The only way we can do that is respond in action. Because otherwise we're just talking with you today. But I want to encourage you, sow a seed through something kind, being compassionate. What one thing that can you do to actually turn the dial and move the purpose forward in love in action for you?
In all of this, God gave us the best example, didn't he, of love in action. He sent his son to die for us, so we have this absolute freedom. And we just brought the cross down as a symbol, really, for us to just remember everything that God has done for us. And this morning, some of you might think, do you know what, I really, really want to be that refresher to somebody else. But this morning, actually, I feel like I need a bit of refreshment as well. And we sang the song, Your Love Never Fails and It Never Gives Up. And that's for every single one of us this morning. It isn't just for people sitting at the front, the children that we've talked to. It's for every one of us that God's love in action is for us. And it's nothing to be afraid of. It's something he freely gives. And Andrew said it's a multifaceted love that lacks nothing. So anything that you need this morning, it's there for you. It's the love in action that you can have that. And we've got some hearts at the front that we just wrote some ideas down on. It might be that you want a bit of a breakthrough with your job. It might be your family. We've got comfort, peace, hope, health, forgiveness, provision. And again, because we're talking about action, sometimes it makes things a little bit easier when there's a practical side to things. So if you want a breakthrough, if you want a refreshment in anything, or if you want something different that we've not talked about, grab a heart, write it down. But we'd love to pray for you this morning. We'd love for you to feel that refreshment so that you can go out and be a refresher to others. Because God's love in action is the biggest example that we could ever have. and that we ever need, because it never ever runs out, it never gives up, and it covers everything. It's multifaceted. So please feel free, come and grab one of the hearts. We've got some children that are going to kindly give out the refreshers for you, and they have sat so well, so I'm sure there's one for them as well.
We're going to sing Waymaker. The point and purpose of that is that all morning when we're worshipping Jesus, we've seen that exchange of his life, his power, and his love. And we're going to sing Waymaker because today, as Sarah Jane has said, there is a refreshing. There is an exchange for you. So you can come and take something that you need from God, and God will do that for you today. You can come and receive prayer if you need refreshing in God, or if you're more comfortable, talk to somebody next to you. Ask them to pray for you, because Love in Action now is the body working together to encourage one another, to pray for one another. And finally, because of what we've heard about Jesus' love, I want to give the opportunity, if you don't know the Jesus that we're talking about, you can today. If you don't know the love of God in your life today, you can know him today. That doesn't have to be an adult. Children, that can be you today. If you feel that God has spoken to you, or is just pulling on your heart, and you want to respond to say, Jesus, I want you in my life. If you want that in your heart, rather than what your parents say, that moment is for you today. So please, let us know if that's you. But we're going to sing and close out Waymaker. And know that love in action is what Jesus has done for us, and he's encouraging and compelling us to show love in action to other people. Amen.
Thanks for joining us today. Search for us online and get information about upcoming events and more great teaching.